Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and once again it is time for Sunday Morning Alive, a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. I want to begin by thanking you for gathering with us around the Word of God today. It is more important than it could ever be, and it's always been vitally important. But now, in these closing hours of human history, in these last of the last days, perilous times are not coming anymore. They are here. Evil men and seducers are continuing to get worse, as the Scripture said that they would. As we see that day approaching, we are to gather together. And one of the ways we do it is right here on the website around the Word of God. So wherever you are in the world, if you have come once again to our website to hear a sermon from the Word of God and hear holy instructions from the Word of God, how to live victoriously in spite of the times that we are living, then you're in the right spot today. If you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, you're going to be filled today. For if any of this seed of the Word falls into a good ground heart, as it is written, it will bring forth fruit. The Word will bring forth fruit in you and I. Some 30, some 60, and some even 100-fold. Well, if I've got the choice, be a 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold, I want my heart to be conditioned so that the Word can germinate and grow mightily within me. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly, the Scripture says. So we want to be 100-fold Christians today. But the very least is 30-fold. One thing is for sure, we'll be making progress. We won't be the same as we were before we were exposed to God's Word with a heart prepared to receive it. The name and title of our sermon today is Pilgrims Just Passing Through. Pilgrims Just Passing Through. The True Christian Life. I want to say that again. Pilgrims Just Passing Through, the True Christian Life. And our scripture that I'm going to, as a foundational scripture for this sermon, is 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, where he says, "Dear," I'm going to read 12 also, 11 and 12 for context. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Hallelujah. Back up to verse 11. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you," I urge you, in other words, "as pilgrims and strangers, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." Being a pilgrim, someone has said, just isn't the dominant model of the Christian life for our times. Our view of Christianity is geared to the here and now. What will it do for my marriage? How will it help me raise my kids? Will it help me succeed in my career? Will it help me overcome personal problems? And while all of these are important, will it help me feel fulfilled as a person? And heaven is just kind of thrown in as a nice benefit. And there's nothing wrong. In fact, all of these things and so much more is offered to the true Christian who is living a true Christian life. Yes, God will bless you in all of these areas of our life. But listen carefully. If heaven is only thrown in as a nice benefit at the end of the ride, something is wrong. Just trying to meet the felt needs, the temporal and the physical and the material needs of our life is not top shelf, and it should never be. The Apostle Paul said, "I haven't apprehended that he apprehended me to apprehend, but forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Heaven can't just be something thrown in at the end of the ride while we are just caught up with the temporal and the material. If heaven is not our focus, then we are off course. We're off the rails. If going to our long home, as David called it, is not our ultimate goal in life, heaven is not some byproduct that just thrown in at the end of the race. No. Amen. Heaven is the goal for every true child of God, living for God here and with God there forever, living for Jesus here and for Jesus there forever. Listen, we want to enjoy life now and cling to it as long as we're able. Nothing wrong with that. But we don't view death, therefore, as a gateway to everything we've been living for. We see it as something to be postponed and avoided at all cost. So the reason that fleshly lust keep overcoming us and impeding us on this journey, and sometimes getting people to want to turn back and not even continue the journey, is because we don't see ourselves as we truly are, pilgrims just passing through. That's why the scriptures tell us that we are to see ourselves in such a way that it will help us to not keep giving in to fleshly lust. John Bunyan wrote the book Pilgrim's Progress over 440 years ago in 1678. And it's never been out of print up to this day, and because of the longevity of it, it is second only in print to the Bible, which is the best-selling book of all time, and it's in print for this day, to this day. Listen, the question, and let me tell you about that book. I'm not advocating necessarily you read it. It's an allegory, but it's about a man who has this dream, and he dreams about this heavenly narrator that is taking him through this journey as he travels. It's about the journey of every Christian, therefore, from this world to that which is to come. All of the temptations, all of the work of the enemy to defraud us out of what God wants us to acquire, to get us to either look back or turn back or even go back. Listen, the question that must be answered is not whether or not we are pilgrims, but are we making progress as pilgrims? Are we traveling light? Or are we heavy laden with sins and weights impeding our journey, stealing our joy and crushing our hope, and leaving us weary and worn out? The scripture says, "Beloved, I urge you as pilgrims and strangers." That's how we're to think of ourselves. We live in a world that's now under the dominion of the evil one. The whole world, the scripture says, lies in wickedness, literally under the influence of the evil one. Therefore, we're not just simply foreigners. We're on enemy turf. We dare not forget it. If you were to visit Iraq or one of those nations, Iran in particular, right now, anywhere in the Middle East that is under these crazy people that want to kill everybody, I'm sure you wouldn't forget that you're on dangerous ground. In fact, you would keep and be on high alert. The words aliens and strangers are synonymous. They point to one who is a temporary resident or a traveler in a foreign country, passing through on our way to a home country. Such a person has a different mentality about life than a permanent native has. The word translated pilgrim here is interesting. It's transliterated from Greek. It is a word, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but it's a combination of three words, para epidemos, used in biblical Greek of the people of a heathen city, Wüst says. Thayer defines the word in this manner, one who comes from a foreign country into a city or land to reside there, beside, by the side of the natives. Jesus put it this way, you are in essence, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. He said, Father, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. It also means a stranger, sojourning in a strange place, a foreigner. In reference to heaven as the native country, one who sojourns on earth, so as of Christians. Another definition, one who stays in a place as a stranger or visitor, to describe Christians whose final citizenship is in heaven, who are regarded as temporary dwellers on the earth. I like that. W.E. Vine, he puts it this way about this word strangers, and I am only given a part of his definition. For more repeat definitions, I've already noted. As an adjective signifying sojourning in a strange place, away from one's own people, metaphorically of those whom heaven is their own country, and they're just sojourners upon the earth. Amen. Peter instructed them to see themselves as pilgrims. Years ago, it is said that a tourist went to visit a Polish rabbi who was a very devoted man. When invited into his home, he noticed it was only one room, with a bookshelf, a cot, and a chair. "Where's your furniture?" he asked. "Where's yours?" the rabbi replied. "I'm just visiting," the tourist exclaimed. "So am I," said the rabbi. We used to sing the old hymn, "This world is not my home. I'm only passing through." What an affirmation of faith. That's the mindset of the true pilgrim. We travel light. We're not passing through without a final destination that is motivating us, that is waiting for us, that is the incentive to run with patience or perseverance the race that is set before us, laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We must be focused on heaven and not just here. Colossians 3:1-4. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Goes on to say, so mortify your deeds upon the earth, or put to death. We are dead. The old man is dead. The old life has to be put to death. The old fleshly things that we used to indulge has to be put to death. Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came hopping, not dancing, jumping, walking, running. He came, had to hop out of that tomb. He was alive, but he wasn't living in the freedom of that resurrected life. He was still wrapped in grave clothes. And Jesus told the people that saw him hopping out, I'm sure they were hesitant to do what he told them to do, but they had already rolled the stone away and saw a dead man come to life that was 3 days dead, that they thought he was stinking and decomposing in there. And they saw him alive, but he was wrapped in grave clothes, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go free." Loose him. He had life, but he didn't have liberty. Amen. Just listen, Jesus wants to loose somebody in this listening audience today. He wants you free to run without encumbrances, without anything impeding you, running with perseverance the race that is set before us with heaven as our goal and Jesus as our encourager, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Dear friend of mine, we need to be looking for a city. Looking for a city as Abraham did, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place that he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob." By the way, these tabernacles is not some mansion down here, some huge edifice that's been built as a success symbol that we could lavish ourselves with. No, this was tents. That's why the Apostle Paul said in the New Covenant, if this earthly tabernacle were thrown down. Paul was a tent maker by trade. He used that illustration. And the word tabernacle here was a tent, a temporary dwelling. No real roots down in this world doesn't mean that you don't need something more than a tent to live in while here. But why do we seek the opulence of the world? Why do we seek so much more than we need or could possibly use? It's simply because we quit seeing ourselves, or maybe have never seen ourselves, as pilgrims and strangers. We are very comfortable in this world, and we have adopted the values of this world and are seeking the things of this world. That's why Demas forsook Paul when the going got tough and he didn't see that he was going to get exceedingly wealthy and may not retain himself as being very healthy because of the threat of death following Paul around, who ultimately gave his life as a martyr for the faith. He said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." He talked about, you did run good for a while. What did hinder you? Well, what does hinder us? It's giving in to the lust of our flesh. In order to follow Jesus, there's a prerequisite: deny yourself. Take up your cross, which means crucifying the flesh and the lust thereof, and follow Jesus' example. Let me go back and let's read again Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." for he has prepared for them a city. Listen, friend, when we know we're pilgrims on this earth and acknowledge that, and that God is our guide and protector on this journey, it's not as important to us to know exactly every little twist and turn of the journey. We just know that God is for us, and God is with us, and God is going to help us no matter what we face in terms of temptation, persecution, testings, and circumstances. When we know that we are pilgrims just passing through, it becomes less important to have permanent dwelling places in this world. The Bible says it clearly, lay not up your treasure upon the earth where the thief can break through and steal and the moth and the rust can corrupt, but lay up your treasure in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be. If you have opportunity to get a better home, that's no sin in that. But always remember, this world is not your home. We're only passing through. Don't let the inflation, the threat of all of the economic situations, we're in such a terrible state because of the government's decisions to run us into debt that boggles the mind. I can't imagine what these trillions of dollars would look like, what it represents in terms of such indebtedness and where it will lead us nationally and personally and globally. Listen, God is our provider. And this world is certainly not our home. We're only passing through. When we approach life as a pilgrim, it's much easier for us to look beyond the troubles and trials of this life and look forward to the city that we're going to live with and live in, the one that's going to come down here in a new heaven, new earth, where we're going to live and rule and reign with Christ forever. When we approach this life as a pilgrimage on the way to a better, the place that is truly our home, it gives us a spirit of expectations. When this is our attitude toward this life, God is not ashamed to be called our God, for we're looking to Him and we're living for Him. I like the paraphrase. It says, all these faithful ones died without receiving what God had promised them, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed the promises of God. They agreed that they were no more than foreigners and nomads here on earth. And obviously, people who talk like that are looking for forward to a country they can call their own. If they had meant the country they came from, they would have found a way to go back. But they were looking for a better place, an heavenly homeland. That's why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a heavenly city for them. We used to sing it, a great camp meeting song, looking for a city where we'll never die, where the sainted millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our loved ones. You got anybody on the other side? Has anyone preceded you to heaven? Most of my family, including my oldest son, has beaten me to heaven. And I'm looking for a city, not just because of the golden streets and the pearly gates and that's going to be wonderful, overwhelmingly beautiful, such a powerful vision of the city He's prepared. Oh, but if Jesus isn't there, it wouldn't be heaven for me. Amen. I want to see my Savior. How about you? I want to see my mama. I want to see my daddy. I want to see my son and my premature daughter, who I never got to see grow up. I want to see my aunts and my uncles, my grandparents that I led to the Lord on my mother's side. Listen, friend of mine, dear friends of mine that I was in church with for so many years that have beat me to heaven. I'm looking for that great reunion. And I believe it's going to be a long time, hallelujah, before I really stop to fully appreciate the walls of jasper and the streets of gold. Oh, friend of mine, I'm looking for a city. I'm longing for that city. Hallelujah. And I'm closer to it as I age and grow older. Every person, though, you shouldn't have to be my age and stage of life in order to get through the pitfalls and the temptations to look back like Lot's wife and even to go back. Dear friend of mine, we need to see ourselves. The day after we're saved, we begin a pilgrimage, and we need to see ourselves as pilgrims and strangers, just passing through, and live and travel light on this journey, not burdened down with all taking more responsibilities upon us than is necessary to live responsibly in life, to provide for our families, to do all those things we need to do, but not at the expense of losing the goal. Not that I have apprehended, but that I might apprehend what Christ apprehended me for, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul was talking about exactly what is written previously, laying aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and running with perseverance the race that is set before us. Oh, dear friend of mine, this is no time to look back. And this is certainly no time to go back. This is a time, the nearness of the coming of the Lord, the wrath of God, the tribulation that immediately comes upon this earth. Things are not going to continue as they are. Neither are you. Neither am I, but we are longing for a city whose builder and maker is God, where we will live eternally with Him, age without end. Dear Christian friend of mine, I beseech you, as pilgrims and strangers, abstain from fleshly lust that war against your soul. Everything is not a sin. We certainly should deal with sin in our life, but there are weights that impede us from running full out. Listen, we need to travel light. We need to cast off these unfruitful works of the flesh and run full out, for Jesus is coming very, very soon. Today, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you're not even in this race. You're just living for the moment, living to fulfill every desire of your flesh, committing sins without thinking about the consequence. And therefore, a holy God can't help you, can't give you what you really, really need in this world and in your life. And so today, I invite you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to repent of your sin, to come to Jesus, to run to Jesus, to run to Him, and not let the enemy defraud you from this city, from this one who has loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son to save you. Come to Christ today. Run to Jesus today. Become a pilgrim in this old pagan world. Live counterculture. Live with hope. Live with the sense of joy in who's coming and what awaits us. Lose the fear of death. Oh, I don't want to die today. I've got a family still here that I want to help. There's still some preaching to be done. Oh, but friend, I'm not afraid when the time comes. Hallelujah. I have that peace in my heart. Only God can give it to you, and He gives it freely. So come to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Repent of your sin. Receive Him as your Savior and your Lord and Master. Hallelujah. He will set you free. He will give you hope. And you'll have the peace of knowing, in spite of all that's going on and whatever shall come, it is well with your soul, in Jesus' name.